I have brought you here today to impart a gift to you. The gift of life, the gift of health, the gift of strength, the gift of peace, and the gift of joy. I brought you here because I love you. And I will complete the work that I have begun in you. Be faithful. Follow my word. Listen to the voice of my spirit. And you will be guided to blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are talking about healing for the whole man, right? God can heal you physically. God can heal you mentally. God heals you spiritually when you accept Him as Savior. You get born again, amen? Your spirit is healed. God can heal you emotionally. He can bind up wounds that have come from words against you and mistreatment against you. He can do it all, amen? He's concerned about our whole being. And so we're continuing with this morning. And some words came to me this past week. And they are, what do you say to the sick? Amen? How many's ever encountered sick people, right? Well, there were lots of things that Jesus said to the sick, right? And when we say what He said, we get His results. Amen? And Jesus operated, go with me to John chapter 5 for a minute. John chapter 5. Let me lay the groundwork before we get into this, all right? John chapter 5, and we're going to read some scriptures between verses 16 and 30, okay? We're not going to read everything, but I want you to notice John chapter 5, verse 17. He said this, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father works hereto, and I work.'" Who was the Father working through? Who was the Father working with? Who commissioned Jesus to come to this earth? Right? Jesus, He is the perfect representative of God, and He is the perfect representative of man. Okay? So, Jesus came here because His Father sent Him, and He was doing the work that His Father wanted Him to do, and healing is part of that work. Amen? All right? Then let's go down to verse 19. "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do what? Nothing of who?'" Wait a minute now. Jesus did things while He was here, but He couldn't do them by Himself. So who was He doing them with? When He was healing people, He was doing it because God was with Him. It was God's will that He was doing, right? He can do nothing of Himself. Now, if Jesus can do nothing of Himself, how do you think you and I can do? Right? Say, "I need Jesus." Boy, do we ever. We need Jesus. Amen? And He said, "The Son of Man can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do." Do you suppose when Jesus told a man to pick up his mat and walk who was lame, He saw the Father doing it? He heard the Father saying it? So He did what He saw the Father do. He did what He heard the Father say. And it was the Father working through Jesus. Amen. Look at verse 20. So, you know, so Jesus said he does the things like the Father does. Verse 20, the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself does. The Father shows everything that he does to Jesus. Why? So that he can do it. Amen? Everything Jesus did was what the Father wanted to do. All right? And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. All right, then let's go down to verse 24. All right, let's go down to verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him. Say, I got to hear and I got to believe. Okay? Believes on him that sent me has everlasting life. When you agree with what Jesus said and you believe what he said, you have what? Everlasting life. Amen? You have more life than the Energizer Bunny. Amen? Then he said, and you shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And go down to verse 27. And has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of who? He's the Son of Man. So God gave him the authority to execute judgment because he's the Son of God and he's the Son of Man. He's the perfect representative between God and man. He is the mediator between God and man. Jesus and the Father are one. He is the Word made flesh. Okay? He has all authority in heaven and earth. Matthew 20 says, I have all authority in heaven and earth. Right? Jesus said that. He did the Father's will to the end. And in the garden, he said, not my will be done, but what? Yours be done. Okay? He forgave sin just like God forgives sin. Right? He conquered death, hell, and the grave and took their keys. He gave power and authority to his disciples to do what he does. Right? Now, you can't give authority that you don't have. Amen? So my point in saying all of this is, when you hear what God Jesus said, when you see what Jesus did, you can know that that was the representative of the Father's will. So if Jesus healed people, it must be God's will to what? To heal people. Amen? And there's one thing that Jesus, I mean, he really flowed in. It was compassion. And he had compassion that would put him to action. His compassion moved him to action, to alleviate stress, sickness, and disease from people. Amen? So Christ's answer to the sick. What do you say to the sick? Jesus said time and time again, I will come and heal you. Say this with me. Say, Jesus' answer to the sick is, I will come and heal you. Amen. You believe that? All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to look at several examples, and we're going to hear some healing stories that you probably heard before, but we're looking at them from a different perspective. We're looking at what Jesus said. Amen? Matthew chapter 9, and let's go to verse 19. Matthew 9, 19. And, well, we better start with verse 18. Better back up one. While he spoke these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay your hand upon her, and she shall live. Okay? The problem was, this man's daughter was near death, or even dead, right? His request was, come and lay your hands on her that she may live. Now let's look at Jesus' response. Okay? Jesus arose and followed him, and so did the disciples. I want you to see his willingness to go where the sick was. He was willing. Why was he going to go there? He was going to raise her from the dead. But you can see his willingness. He didn't say, oh my goodness, I can't believe that she's that far gone. Right? He just simply got up and followed the man to his house so that he could do what the man asked. Lay his hands on her and heal her. Amen? Say, Jesus was willing. Say, Jesus is willing. Amen? All right, let's go down to verse 35. Same chapter. Verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and what? Healing what? Every sickness and every disease. Where? Guess what? Does he still do that today? Yes, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Okay? I want you to see something here. Jesus, what did Jesus do? He starts with a W. He what? He went. Amen? You know what the Bible says in Psalms? God sent his word. And what happened? He healed them. You know that Jesus was the walking word? Everywhere where God sent the word, healing took place. Amen? So Jesus went where the sick was, and he didn't criticize them. He didn't condemn them. He just healed them. Amen? Because he has compassion. Because it is not his will at all that any be sick and full of disease and can't do what they were created to do. Amen? So he provides the solution. Okay? Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We're talking about what do you say to the sick? And we're looking at Jesus' response to sick people. Jesus dealt with lots of different kinds of sick people in his ministry. And he never told one to come back tomorrow. He never said the healer is out to lunch. He never said that, sorry, I'm on vacation. His response to everyone who came to him was yes and amen. I will heal you. I will touch you. I will alleviate you of your stress because I love you. He never turned away anyone that came to him. And sometimes he even went to them. Amen? Now, suppose you come to Jesus today. Can you receive the same results as they did? Is God a respecter of persons? I mean, could I accuse God of liking Paul more than me? Because his name is so cool. You know, I could never accuse God of that. Why? Because God loves Paul just the same as he loves me. He does not differentiate his love between any person. He loves us all the same. Amen? And I'm glad that God loves Paul and me the same. Amen? Matthew chapter 12, verse 9. And when he was departed there, he went into their synagogue. At that time, they had no churches. All they had were synagogues, Jewish places of worship. Okay? But you could say that, you know, it's just like our church today, so to speak, somewhat. All right? And what do you suppose he did in the synagogue? Any ideas? What do you think Jesus did? Shout it out. Taught and he preached, amen? What's happening right now? Are you being taught and preached the Word of God? Amen. And if we preach the same Word that he preached, guess what? We get the same results. Amen? All right. And behold, there was a man who had his hand withered. All right? Dr. Ron Charles could give you more details about this, but I'm not Dr. Ron. Amen? And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? That they might accuse him. Religion doesn't care if you're sick. It only cares if you mess up their program. Right? And they were saying this specifically to accuse Jesus. As if it's some kind of sin to heal on the Sabbath day. As if that's the unpardonable. Oh no, you can't heal on this day. Why not? Anyway. And he said to them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than sheep? See, Jesus is concerned about people. He put them in their place. There wasn't one man in that synagogue that said, I'm gonna leave my sheep in the pit. They would pull their sheep out. See, Jesus equated sickness with a pit. And guess what? When he sees you in the pit, he wants to pull you out. Amen? And he's got a Holy Ghost 4x4 that can pull you out of any pit that you might end up in. All right? Probably got a Hemi in it just for... Wherefore, is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? Then he said to the man, notice what he said. Stretch forth your hand. How could a man whose hand is withered stretch it forth? Well, that all depends on who's saying to you, stretch it forth. Amen? This was the Word made flesh. This was God's Word speaking to this man who gave him a command, said, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was what? Restored how? Whole, just like the other. God's will, he wants you whole. He doesn't want you in pieces. He wants you whole, and only he can take the pieces and make you whole. But isn't it interesting? This man was a withered hand. Jesus took notice of it. Matter of fact, it was kind of brought before him by the Pharisees. Jesus didn't care what day it was. He does not have a day where he heals and a day where he doesn't. Amen? He heals 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Amen? From now until forever. All right? Why does he heals because he's a healer. Just like he saves because he's a savior. Just like he loves because he's a lover of my soul. Amen? So Jesus showed compassion to this man. He showed compassion because nothing else could cure this man's hand. There was no one else in that scenario that could do what Jesus did. Amen? But when we take his word and share it with someone else, the best way to show compassion to someone is to share the love of God with them. Amen? Compassion is rooted in love. And compassion solves problems. Compassion restores things that are broken. Compassion fixes things that aren't working. Amen? You got a broken relationship somewhere with someone? You have the means within you right now to go and fix that relationship. I mean, the ones who have God in their hearts ought to be the ones to go fix the relationship, and it has nothing to do with whether or not you're right or wrong. It has everything to do with it needs to be fixed. Amen? Why argue about who's right or wrong? That's like arguing if you could heal on the Sabbath day. I mean, who really cares if you're right or wrong, but as long as it's fixed. Amen? And as far as that's concerned, when it gets fixed, give God the glory. He's the one that fixed it. Amen? So it doesn't matter who's right or wrong, because God is one who gets the glory. So he gave a direct word to this man. He told them to do something. Why would God tell you to do something? Because faith always, say this with me, say faith always acts on what the word says. I'm going to say that one more time, but you don't have to repeat it with me. Faith always acts on what the word says. No matter how crazy of an instruction you think it is. Hey, Joshua. Now, Joshua's a warrior. He's a general. He's a soldier. He's won some battles. And God tells Joshua to march around the city and shout. He didn't raise one sword. He didn't throw one spear. They didn't release one arrow. But the walls came down through supernatural means, because he followed an instruction from God. Shout. You know, and Joshua didn't say, well, I don't think shouting is going to do really good, Lord. Listen, do you know better than God? If you don't know better than God, you might as well just follow his instruction. Right? Amen? Sometimes you got to bypass your mind to follow his instruction. Did you know that that man's body fought against him stretching forth his hand? Because it was an impossibility. But how many know that God deals with the impossible? Right? How many things are possible to them who believe God? All things. Everybody say all things. Amen. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. Are you enjoying this? Bottom line is, if you say to the sick what Jesus says to the sick, you're going to get his results. Amen? You know, I noticed that Jesus never said, oh, you poor dear. You know? He never did that. Doesn't mean he didn't love them. He loved them. But he acted quickly to alleviate the problem. That's what compassion does. Just because you have empathy doesn't mean you're compassionate. See, you have compassion when you're moved to action to solve the problem. That's where compassion really takes its hold. You know, empathy recognizes the problem, but compassion solves the problem. Okay? Matthew 15, verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, notice what he said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days. How many would you like to be in a church service for 3 days and not having eaten a meal? Say, these were some committed followers. They didn't have seats like you have. They didn't have air conditioning like we have today. Amen? But yet, they followed Jesus and listened to his teaching for 3 days. And he had compassion on the multitude. So what did he do? He said, and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint on the way. You know, Jesus could have been all spiritual. He said, God has called you to fast. And the people are saying, well, gee, I didn't even know that God called me to fast. But no, his compassion wanted to provide them with something to eat. And the disciples said unto him, where should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? Where are they? They're in the wilderness. There's no McDonald's. There's no Burger King. There's no Dunkin' Donuts. There's no Starbucks. There's no Subway. There's no Chinese restaurants. You know, the one thing that amazed me when I first went to Guyana, every single restaurant in Guyana was a Chinese restaurant. Every single one. They have some more now, but my first time, every single restaurant was a Chinese restaurant.
I'm like, man, if the church evangelized like Chinese restaurants, Jesus would be here by now. Amen? Okay, Jesus is still in compassion mode. He's solving the problem. In other words, compassion does not accept your lack of supplies. Well, we don't have enough. Sorry, that doesn't work for compassion. I'm going to solve this problem no matter what. Okay? He said, well, how many loaves do you have? Jesus said, let's start with what you have. Okay? And they said to him, 7 and a few little fish. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. Not only were they following him for 3 days, but they were standing. They were standing. That is amazing. Well, you can't sit down unless you're standing, right? Jesus said, sit down. So they must have been standing. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks and broke them and gave to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And how many ate? They did all eat and were what? Filled. And they took up the broken meat that was left over, 7 baskets full. Let me tell you something. When you get into compassion, God can work miracles through you. When you have a compassionate heart that you want to solve the problem and you don't have the natural means to solve the problem, there's always supernatural solutions. There are solutions that go beyond the natural realm. And when you're full of compassion, you will pull down from the supernatural to cause the problem to be solved. Jesus just said, what do you have? He gave thanks and he started distributing. You know, I love what George Pearson's said. He's pastor of Eagle Mountain Church. He's Brother Copeland's son-in-law. He said, my motivation for accumulation is distribution. I thought, that is good. Why should you be rich? My motivation for accumulation is distribution. Amen? God wants us to be distributors. So, his compassion. He had compassion on everybody that was there. There wasn't one person there that left hungry. Amen? And when Miss Dottie makes some food at VCF, don't worry about if there's enough. God will make sure that there's enough for everybody. Amen? We create the atmosphere. We call it meet, greet, and eat. It gives you the opportunity to build relationships. Right? That's part of our purpose that you heard this morning in our confession. Okay? Amen. So Jesus, his compassion, verse 38, and they did it. There were 4,000 men besides women and children. Hallelujah. Go to chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And let's start with verse 29. And they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. Everywhere Jesus went, people were following him. And behold, 2 blind men sitting by the wayside, when they, what? They heard that Jesus passed by. How could you hear that someone is passing by? They probably heard people talking about who was passing by. Maybe they heard them talk about the miracles that he did. Maybe they heard him talk about the fish and loaves that he fed the multitudes with. Irregardless, there was something they heard that caused them to move in faith. Faith comes by what? Hearing. Okay? So when they heard that Jesus passed by, they cried out saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them. You got to love the religious-minded folk. Here are 2 blind men. They hear that Jesus is passing by. The only thing they can really do is cry out. I mean, they can't run after him, right? They can't tackle him because they couldn't see him. You know, maybe they could tackle him by accident. But the one thing that they could do was to cry out. And the multitude tells them to be quiet. You know, that's just like the devil. When you feel an unction to come up here and maybe grab one of those flags and start worshiping, and the devil says, you don't want to do that. What are people going to think of you? They're going to think you're crazy. Yeah, let them think I'm crazy. I'm going up there and grabbing me a scarf, and I'm going to worship God. Listen, there are some voices that tell you things that you need to disagree with. Amen? Just because the multitude is saying it doesn't mean you have to comply. Just because our government says this is legal doesn't mean you have to believe, doesn't mean you have to comply. Amen? After all, Pharaoh told the midwives to kill the baby boys, and they refused. And because they refused, God built them houses. That's a pretty good deal. Okay? The multitude rebuked them and said they should hold their peace. I just see them say, I don't think so. But they cried the more. Praise God for that. Sometimes you got to press through those things. When we have an altar call, there's going to be things that it's going to do its utmost best to try to get you to not respond. But you got to push through. Why? Because you believe something greater. They cried the more, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. And Jesus stood still. Compassion pays attention to the voices that cry out. Jesus stood still. They had Jesus's undivided attention. Even though they pushed through the multitude saying, rebuked them and telling them to be quiet, they now had Jesus's attention. And he said, what will you that I should do unto you? In other words, compassion said, okay, name your miracle. Because they got the attention of the master. And Jesus said, Jesus was impressed with their faith. How many know that faith impresses Jesus? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when you're in faith, you must please God. And therefore, he likes faith. Say, God likes faith. Say, God really loves faith. Say, I'm a person of faith. So Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Name your miracle. Right? How many ever remember that old game show? Name that too. Right? It was a competition to see how many notes it would take you to name a song. Right? I can name that song in 3 notes. Well, I can name that song in 2 notes. Well, I can name that song in 1 note. Name that tune. They would go 1 key, and they would have to name the song based on 1 note of 1 key sometimes. Jesus put no limit on these blind men. He said, what is it that you want me to do? Name your miracle. And now, couldn't he tell that they were blind? I mean, wouldn't it be obvious? If a blind man is trying to get your attention, wouldn't you think that maybe you want to see, right? Listen, Jesus knew exactly what they wanted, but he wanted them to express it. How many know if you want to be healed, you got to have the want to? And they said to him, Lord, notice they called him Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had what? Compassion on them. And touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Isn't it awesome? They went from begging to following because they cried out and wouldn't quit. Amen? But Jesus had compassion on them. What did his compassion do? His compassion reached out. His compassion touched. His compassion alleviated the blindness. His compassion restored the sight. His compassion changed their life. Amen? Go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We're almost finished. Look at verse 38. Mark chapter 1, verse 38. Let me just pause here for a minute. God wanted us saved so much that He was so full of compassion that Jesus came to be a man, that God became a man. He got right in the muck and the mire called this earth, which was under a curse because of sin. He came right into where we are. Why? Because we couldn't rescue ourselves. But he was so full of compassion that he got up off of his throne. He left heaven and was born a man so that he could alleviate sin from our lives. He so abhorred sin that he died on the cross, shed his blood to redeem us from sin, to stop the destructive nature of sin. He did it. And it was His compassion that did it. And believe me, if you need to be saved today, today is your day. The Savior is here. He wants you saved. He's done everything that He can do to deliver us from hell. If anybody dies not knowing Jesus Christ, it's not because God didn't provide a way for you. God provided a way for us to be saved. It's no different than me inviting you to the Shady Maple, paying the bill, and you not eat a thing. Well, if you're not going to eat a thing, I'm certainly not going to take you to Shady Maple. But do you see how absurd that is? I take you to Shady Maple. You know we're going there, and it's the most amazing buffet that I've ever been to. And I pay the bill, but you don't do anything with it. You don't eat one bite of food. That's what it is when people reject Christ and salvation. Jesus did all this stuff, paid all of our bill, and we don't partake of anything. It's no different than taking you to Shady Maple and not partaking of anything. All right, let's read. Verse 38, Mark chapter 1. Then He said to them, "Let us go to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." In other words, Jesus said, "I have come to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. And I'm going to go everywhere that I can go in this period of time that I have." Jesus did not waste time. He was about the Father's business from day one. Verse 39, "And He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils." Okay? "And there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him." Notice these terms of how these people came to Him. Some people came worshiping. Some people came requesting. Some people cried out. Some people were beseeching Him. But there was some intensity in their coming to Him. Amen? "Oh, I'm just going to go to Jesus today. Whatever, whatever, whatever You want to do, Lord, I'm just going to come to You, whatever, whatever." That's not how they came. They when they knew that Jesus was in the location, they made a direct line to Jesus. They went to Jesus, irregardless of who was watching or who was listening or who was looking at them. They went to Jesus and they pleaded their case and they got their miracle. Leper came beseeching Him, kneeling down to Him, and saying unto Him, "If You will, You can make me clean." This leper did not doubt Jesus' ability, but he wasn't sure of his willingness to do it for him. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you're unsure if he's willing to do it for you. Let me tell you something. If you were the only one on earth, he would have done what he did. It wouldn't have changed a thing on God's part. Let me get in character. Lord, I know that you can. I love Jesus' response. Let me use you, Brandon. This guy had leprosy. Jesus touched him, and he said, I am willing. He answered the question. See, the man knew that he could, but he wasn't sure if he was willing. And if you ever wonder if God is willing, his answer is, I am willing. And that man was made clean. Leprosy gone. Health restored. Why? See, compassion is willing. Compassion hurts with your hurts. It sorrows with your sorrow. It wishes, well, it, no. Compassion can take your pain and handle it. I am willing. He was made clean because of the willingness of Jesus. Not only was he willing to make him clean, but he touched him. Do you know how many people would refuse to touch the leper? Ooh, there's a leper. Don't touch me. You got cooties. See, but compassion, it touches. Why? Because sometimes that is that touch that brings healing. Sometimes it's that word that brings healing. Sometimes it's that action that alleviates the stress and the pain that the person is feeling. Jesus is still willing today. He is willing to save you. He is willing to heal you. He is willing to help you. He is willing to lift you up. He is willing to strengthen you. He is willing to guide you. He is willing to lead you. He is willing to speak to you. He is willing to teach you. He is still willing today because he is a God of compassion. After all, the Holy Spirit is a comforter. You don't need a comforter unless you're having trouble. Unless tragedy strikes. You need a comforter. He comforts you. He comforts all who mourn. He's the only one who can turn your mourning into dancing. What a change. You can go from mourning to dancing because God just moved in. Because his he wraps you up in his compassion. And all of a sudden, all the symptoms of heartache are gone. They're lost in his compassion. And you don't have them anymore, but someone came and took them away from you. He bore our punishment. He bore our sin. He took away our pain. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. But by his stripes, we are healed. Spirit, soul, and body. He had compassion on possessed people, and he cast devils out of them. He had compassion on a mother who lost her son, and he raised him from the dead. There's no limit to his compassion. His compassion is powerful. His compassion is for you today. Take hold of God's compassion. Don't be afraid to let go of your pain, your sorrow, your hurt, your wounds, and give them to Him today. Because that's what He came to do. He came to set you free so that you're free indeed, so that there's no residue. Amen? When he stood before the grave of Lazarus and He declared, "Lazarus, come forth." You know, Lazarus, he was wrapped in grave clothes, so he had to come like this. But then the Bible says to the people, "Loose him and let him go." Lazarus was completely free of his grave clothes. He didn't even smell like the grave anymore. He went from smelling bad to smelling good because compassion knocked on his door. Compassion called his name. Compassion called him forth. And because of the Lord's compassion, Lazarus lived a little bit longer in his life to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, when you get a hold of God's compassion, it'll change your life forever. Number one, you need to be born again. If you're not born again, you're in darkness. You need to come into the light. The only way to come into the light is to make Jesus your Savior. Don't be afraid to do that. Because salvation makes you whole. Salvation restores your relationship with God. Get saved today. Come to Jesus today. That's what the cross, that's why He did what He did, so that you can come to Him without restriction, without hesitation, without limitation. And if you're healed today, if you're sick today, then come to Him and be healed today. Let Him wrap His arms of compassion around you. Let Him hold you so tight that you can hear His heartbeat. You know what it's saying? I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. You should never get tired of God telling you that He loves you. Amen? Now, if you need Jesus today, is there anybody here? You've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior. I'm telling you, don't leave here today without doing that. All it is you're inviting Jesus to come into your heart. And you're letting Him be Lord over your life. It's not complicated. It's simple. If you don't know Jesus, come to Jesus today. It'll be the greatest decision you ever make. It's the greatest miracle that ever takes place. Salvation of a soul is greater than healing of a body. Because salvation is forever. Amen? And eventually we're gonna upgrade these bodies anyway. Right? When Jesus comes back. So if you need to come to Jesus, come here today. If you need healing, come here today and let compassion touch you. If you come today, He'll say, "I'm willing. I can do it. I'll do it for you because I love you, because I want to share what I have with you." If you need to respond to any of those things that I said today, come. Don't hesitate. Come now.